thank you for the special number during our offertory. That was great. Don't you love it? Many of you have been battling with the flu and the colds, and I've been battling mine this week, and this morning I'm not feeling well, so the message will be short. Another round of applause. As a matter of fact, it's always awkward when it comes to Communion Sunday if you're not feeling well. I've debated whether to serve you communion or just stand back and allow someone else to do it. But in spite of that, the message that I have for you this morning is an important one. We've been studying the Gospel of John, and as we look at John's Gospel, John has said that it was his intent and purpose that we would see Jesus. In this Gospel, he wants to describe Jesus in every facet of his being. He wants us to know him not only as Savior, but in all the ways that Jesus is to his church. As we come to this passage this morning, John the Baptist is the speaker. John seems to be the focal point of what the apostle is writing about, but don't make that mistake. The apostle is not writing about John the Baptist. That is not the subject. That is not the point of this part of his message. The point of his message is Jesus. And who Jesus is. We're reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning our reading with verse 19. Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you one of the prophets?" And he answered, "No." And they said to him, "Who are you that we may give answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing. Verse 29. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And this is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him. But that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remaining on him.' I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Bow with me for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I would just like to disappear this morning and fade out of view. I'm not feeling well, and I don't feel like preaching. But this is your word. And this is an important word for the church. So, Lord, we ask that you would give us your strength, that you would open our eyes to see Jesus, open our ears to hear what the voice of the Holy Spirit says to His church. And then teach us to walk with You. We ask, Lord Jesus, for a special anointing of Your Spirit today. In Jesus' name. Amen. John's purpose this morning is to point to Jesus. People wanted to make Him the focus of the message and say, "You're special." And John said, "No, I'm not. I am here to announce the coming of One who is so special that I couldn't even unlatch His sandals without humbling myself in awe before Him." John the Baptist wants us to understand that Jesus was more than just a prophet. And Jesus was also more than just the Savior. He was the One who was coming to baptize with the Holy Spirit. John uses this terminology, and in order for us to understand it, we have to go beyond the scope of this letter or this epistle or this gospel of John. We need to look at the four gospels to understand exactly what John the Baptist had to say about Jesus. In all of the other passages where John the Baptist is declaring Jesus Christ in His coming, he always diminishes himself in stature. He says, "Jesus must be lifted up." He said, "I must decrease and He must increase." He said, "I come to baptize you with water as a symbol of repentance. But He who is coming is Jesus. And He comes to baptize you with the Holy Spirit." There is a distinct message here for the church that the Apostle John wanted to convey to us through the message of John. That we who have received Jesus as our Savior have testified of our own sinfulness and asked Him to cleanse us from sin. And for that reason, we come to the Lord's table today to be reminded that once again, we do not have righteousness in ourselves. We are not good enough to get to heaven. There's nothing we can do to earn our way. We must be completely dependent on the Son of God who gave Himself for us. Jesus died on the cross and He was nailed there, not for Himself, but for us and for our trespasses and sins. John says, "I came baptizing with water as a symbol of that repentance that brings you into the kingdom." Every believer that's here today needs to understand that if you have repented of your sins, you need to follow suit as John the Baptist did, as the disciples of Jesus did, and as Jesus Himself did. He submitted Himself to baptism in water. Many believers today that have not done that have not taken the attitude of John the Baptist of humility, of following Jesus, that think of themselves as more worthy than others and not needing that they should be washed in water, not needing that they should dunk into a tank and get their face wet and look silly in front of a congregation. John the Baptist was in front of thousands of people at the Jordan River, a river that was full of mud. Nobody wanted to wash in the Jordan River, but they came baptizing, confessing their sins. And John said, "This is the entrance to the kingdom." When Jesus came preaching, He also instituted that baptism as part of the way of coming in and testified that you have come into the kingdom. I'm not going to preach about baptism today. Do that next week, Lord willing. But I want to preach about that other part that's so often forgotten in the church. But Jesus didn't come just to baptize us with water. John said the significance of Jesus coming was that He was coming to do what no one else could do. He was coming to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you have been baptized in water whether you were baptized as a baby or as an adult. At this point, it won't matter. Later it will. And keep your hands up. Okay, most of you. All right, now I'm going to ask another question. And only show your hands in your mind. Don't show them out loud. How many of you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit? Don't raise your hand. But respond in your heart. You see, there are some things that are very familiar to us. Some things that are very common because they're real, they're tangible, and we're comfortable with that. And most of us in the evangelical church are comfortable with water baptism because it's tangible. We can see it. We can do that. We can understand that. But John's saying, I can only take you so far. I can baptize you with a water of repentance where you testify that your sins are forgiven. But I can't take you beyond that. But this Jesus that's coming, He is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. John stood up as a raving maniac. He was waving his hands and his hair was flying all over the place. And he was saying, I want you to understand this above everything else. I am not important. The baptism that I give you is important, but it's not the most important. The most important is that you be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot of strange teaching today about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I want to point out what John is saying about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, it is the baptism of the Holy Spirit in fire. Throughout the New Testament, when Jesus is referred to as the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, it always accompanies that little phrase, and with fire. And some say, well, that refers to Acts 2:4, where they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues and cloven tongues of fire came down. No, it doesn't. This is prior to that. John is not talking about tongues. He's not talking about emotional experiences. He's not talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about Jesus. Let me say it another way. He's saying, I baptize you with water. Splish, splash. But He who's coming is going to baptize you in fire. That's the contrast. He said, what I have here is H2O. It's water. You're all familiar with it. But the one that's coming after me, He's going to baptize you with something that's so life-changing that it's like fire. It will consume you. It will purify you. It will wash you inside. I can wash you outside with the water, but there's one that can wash you inside, and that's Jesus. See, this baptism of the Holy Spirit is that encounter that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ in which He comes in, not just as Savior, but He comes in as purifier. He comes in to cleanse everything inside that defiles, everything that smells to God, everything that is contaminated. He wants to clean it up. He wants to wash it away. Yet today, if we'd ask that question, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Most of the church today would answer like the Ephesians in Acts chapter 19. Paul said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, not sure. He said, then what were you baptized into? And they said, into the baptism of repentance. And Paul goes on to say, hey, wait a minute, that's only half the story. And to the church today, that's half the story. If you were only baptized in the tank, but you have never allowed the Lord Jesus Himself full control to come in and clean house on the inside of you, you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yes, you've received the Holy Spirit. He's in your life as a new believer. But He is not that purifier. He is not that fire that rages within. We follow the truth concerning the fire of the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures. God says, our God is a consuming fire. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God who is a consuming fire. You see, the point that John wanted to make, and later Paul wanted to make, was Jesus came to save you, yes, but he also came to sanctify you. He came to purify you. He came to cleanse you. He came to make you different than the world. He came to set up residence within you so that you become the temple of God. Yet many Christians are holding back and saying, no, no, Jesus, be Savior, but don't be Lord. Yes, Jesus, I'll be baptized and I'll follow you. I'll get my name on the church membership roll, but don't ask me to surrender my life to the Lord Jesus completely. Jesus, don't come in here and start cleaning things up. I'm happy the way I am. John said, Jesus is coming, and his coming is so great that when he comes in all his fullness, he's going to purify you as with fire. When you have an encounter with Jesus Christ that's genuine, he purifies you. He cleanses you. He actually goes through and strips you out on the inside and gets rid of all the old junk and begins to build you new. That is the Holy Spirit that Jesus came to baptize you with. I told you I wouldn't preach long. I would like every one of you to come back this evening. Because this evening we're going to show a video instead of using our regular series. It's a video message by Dick Eastman, who is founder of Every Home for Christ. And he shares this wonderful message of revival, fire of the Holy Spirit coming in and changing. And he is a first-hand witness to the Holy Spirit coming into a college, a situation where people were not seeking him, not knowing him as the Holy Spirit that comes with fire. And yet the Holy Spirit came in and brought tremendous revival and change to lives. As I sat and viewed this message, I just wept. I cried before the Lord and sobbed. And I said, oh God, that you would do that to us. Would to God that in our congregation we wouldn't be cold and lukewarm and stagnant and so sophisticated that we don't break before the Spirit of the living God. Would to God that Jesus had the liberty to come in here and baptize us with his fire, that cleansing fire, that purifying fire. We'll no longer be the same. You know what an old forest is like? An old forest has been there a long time. It's stable. It's had a lot of rain. It's gone through all the storms. It's weathered it all. And it's a noble place. It's a wonderful place. You've got big trees and little trees. You've got lots of fruit. You've got animals all the way through. But God has ordained that every forest should go through a process of fire. That process of fire is not to destroy the forest, but to make it new. And so God has ordained that there would be lightning in the world that would flash and suddenly hit, and the flash of lightning would cause fire. That fire would spread and level the forest to the ground. And we look at it, especially when it happens in a national park, and we say, oh, what a tragedy. And if you're a hug the tree kind of person, you probably cry. But God says, no, I make all things new again. Within a few years, you see a brand new forest growing up. And the ashes of that old become the fertilizer for the new and the fresh. And God says, I want to do that in your life, believer. Jesus is not just your Savior. He's your sanctifier. He's your purifier. He wants to come through with a fire of the Holy Spirit to consume all that old garbage that's been there. He wants to wipe it clean. Allow your life to start growing in a new way. Now, we don't have time this morning for me to go into depth on that, and I don't want to. I would like you to come back this evening and share that testimony of Dick Eastman and that college, not a Pentecostal college, but an evangelical college where Jesus Christ became Lord of all, and what God did in the lives of these young people. But I want to ask you today, as we prepare to go to the communion service, have you been baptized with fire? God never baptizes somebody with fire except that they ask. The disciples had grown their own forest in 3.5 years of serving Jesus. They were fruitful. They had a lot of things going for them, but they took the time to go to an upper room. There they got on their knees before God and said, God, it's not enough. Peter cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, I've failed you over and over and over again. I tried to be consistent, but I've failed and I don't have the power. And on that day of Pentecost, God sent the Holy Spirit in fire to consume all the dross, all the wood, hay, and stubble of that forest. And He set those hearts on fire. Jesus wants to do that for you. Is your heart on fire? Has the Holy Spirit ever swept through the interior of your life? Has Jesus ever done a new thing in you? John the Baptist said, I can baptize you with water, but that's all I can do. But He, Jesus, who is coming after me, He will come and baptize you with fire. You just have to ask Him. You just have to want it. You have to long for it. You have to be sick of the old forest and say, Lord, make me new again. So as we come to the Lord's table this morning, I ask you to do that. If God has spoken to your heart in some way this morning and you need to do business with Him while we serve the bread, just slip out of your pew and come and kneel at the altar. There's no shame to this altar. This is a place of victory. It's a place of surrender. A place of holiness. It's a place where Jesus wants to meet His people. I invite you to come and just kneel down and say, Lord, there's some junk in my life that needs to be burned out. I'm tired of it. I've done all the other things and I'm a good religious person, but Lord, I need more than that. I need a new start. I need a fresh burning of your fire to make my forest brand new. And it's wonderful that Jesus said, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? All we have to do is ask. And He'll come in all His power. He'll change you. In a moment, we're going to serve communion. I invite you to come and pray, but perhaps there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus as Savior. And in a congregation this size, that's normal, that there are people that come just out of curiosity and they don't know Jesus as Savior. They've never repented of sin. They've never been baptized. They've never given public testimony that Jesus has been their Savior. They've received Him. So this morning we give that invitation to you too. You receive Jesus as your Savior. Invite Him to come into your life to cleanse and wash you from your old sins. And begin that new life in you, and He will do it. But as many as received Him, to them gives He the right to be called the children of God. Would you bow your hearts with me, please? Holy Spirit of God, we have often neglected You as the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, You are the giver of the Holy Spirit. You said You came to do that. That was one of the magnificent points of Your coming. Forgive us for being satisfied with less. We ask this morning as the purifier that You would come and purify our hearts. As we kneel before Your throne, as we sit in our pews and bow in Your presence, we pray that You would deal with us of those issues, those things that are not surrendered, those things that need to be burned up and washed away and taken care of. Work in our hearts, Lord. Minister to us in this hour, we pray. In Jesus' name.